Hello and welcome to my show, Nutrition for Health, Perfect Weight and Wellbeing on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. My name is Dora Walsh and I've been working in the field of natural and functional medicine for 14 years. I'm a qualified nutritionist and nutritional therapist, and I support my clients to overcome their chronic health concerns like hormonal imbalance, digestive problems, chronic fatigue, autoimmune conditions, skin concerns, even long COVID. You can find out more about me on my website, www.nutriheal.net, and also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about multiple sclerosis. People also call it MS, and all the nutrition and lifestyle medicine protocols that you can use to support yourself, maybe even reverse the disease, halt the disease, help yourself feel better. Now, multiple sclerosis or MS is a lifelong condition that affects the brain and the nervous system. Common symptoms may include tiredness, vision problems, problems with walking or balance. And MS is caused by the immune system mistakenly attacking the brain and the nerves. It's not totally clear why this happens, and signs and symptoms will wildly depend on the amount of nerve damage or which nerves have been affected. Some people with severe MS may lose the ability to walk independently or at all, while others may experience long periods of remission without any symptoms at all and feel totally well. But today we're going to be talking about what you can do about this from a lifestyle medicine and nutritional perspective. And I've got Nicola Good with me, and she's the founder of the Good Health Clinic. I'm going to mention her spelling of her name, which is G-O-O-D-E, but we pronounce it Good. And if you want to find out more about her, you can look her up on nicolegoodhealth.com. And also she's on Amazon as well. And the Amazon address is at good_health. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. Now, I've wanted to cover MS for a long time, and we have covered Hashimoto's and autoimmunity in general, but there are similarities in the way that we address these autoimmune conditions. But I'd like to today drill down into MS, nutrition and lifestyle medicine protocols for MS. And you were recommended to me, and I know you're an expert in this area. So I'd love you to just explain to me initially your own journey into becoming an expert and a nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, and how you came to work with MS sufferers.
Yeah, sure. So I actually started at university studying neuroscience. So I guess that was kind of my first in. But then whilst I was studying, I fell ill with lots of the kind of typical autoimmune journey symptoms. So I had a lot of chronic symptoms, lots of years of getting no answers, not really finding much that worked or helped. And it was through that I found functional medicine and nutritional therapy to sort of help myself, really started to get those improvements. And I wanted to get back to the medical route. That was what I'd always initially wanted to do, but now I wanted to do it through functional medicine. And I really wanted to focus that on helping people with autoimmunity and fatigue. So I headed back to uni again, studied, became a registered NT, and then I've done training at the Institute of Functional Medicine. And I've done specialist training for autoimmunity under Dr. Datis Karazian, who is in the US. And that led me to setting up the Good Health Clinic for autoimmunity. And I work with people all over the world now, helping them live with that. And MS for me is very personal for me. That's why I like to specialize in it. Also, having studied the neuroscience, any of those kind of neurological or brain conditions are a special kind of, they're a subspecialty, I guess, for me within the autoimmune bracket. And many of the things that I went through, I kind of now recognize as being that typical autoimmune journey. So some of those things you've mentioned, like the fatigue, those dips in energy at sort of between 3 and 5 p.m. generally, followed by that kind of second wind in the evening, lots of brain fog, chronic pain, gut issues, sort of feeling run down. That was that general sort of story that I was having. And then that other kind of what I now recognize as being that red flag for this journey of, you know, having tried lots of things to benefit your health, you know, nothing helping or nothing really fixing the issue, or it works for a little while and then stops working, and you get, it's quite a frustrating journey. Seeing people with multiple diagnoses. So this, it was all a journey that I went on, that I know so many people now that I work with that have been on that same journey and have really struggled with it. And it's just a real passion of mine to help people to find other options sooner and know that there is other solutions out there to just the conventional medicine route.
I hear you. Now, Nicole, are you living symptom-free now of MS?
Yeah, so I think my day-to-day life now is far better than what it was when I started. Like you said, though, any autoimmunity is a chronic condition. So we can't cure MS. If you have it, you're going to live with it for life. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, people come to you and they're sort of like, you know, can you cure me? And the answer is no, because you will live with it for life. What we're looking at doing is pushing back those symptoms so that you have a lot more good days than bad days. And that really is the goal, you know, and getting you back to doing things that you want to do. So I couldn't exercise at all or anything like that. So, you know, getting back to being able to do all the things that you want to do, live the life that you want to live, not have to, I think a big one that I see is not having to plan your life around your illness. So I know for me and for lots of people that I've worked with, one of the big things is not planning going out with friends and family, because you don't know how you're going to feel that day. So you don't do things, you don't live a normal life. And to be able to get back to that where, you know, you can plan, you know that you're generally going to feel okay. You will have times of flare-ups, you know, that happens, but knowing how to manage that when it does so that the flare-up lasts for a shorter period of time, it's not as severe, and you get back on your feet a lot quicker. And generally day-to-day, you're living as symptom-free as possible and can live you can live a normal life with MS. And I think that's what people don't always realize. They envision somebody, you know, in a wheelchair and very poorly, and don't realize actually there's a real varying degree of severity with MS.
Yeah, definitely. Wouldn't it be lovely for people to be able to plan their life, as you say, without having to plan it around their illness or the worry that you're not going to be well enough to make that appointment with friends? Definitely.
Being out and falling, you know, a lot of the time people say to me, well, you know, they've got nervous about going out because they're out for a while and then they start to feel ill, because sometimes the symptoms can come on quite suddenly. Right. So, you know, and they'll sort of, and then they get embarrassed that, you know, they want to go home, or, and people not understand if they haven't yet reached the point of diagnosis, their friends and family not understanding quite what's wrong with them, because often it can be an invisible illness as well.
Yes.
You know, and that can be difficult for people to understand and people to live with.
I hear you. Now, I very briefly talked about what MS is, but you're the expert, Nicole, and I'd love you just to elaborate a bit more about what is MS and then what is it autoimmunity, because MS is an autoimmune condition.
Yeah, so MS is, it's classified as a demyelinating neurological autoimmune disease. So there's a few parts to it. It affects your brain and your spinal cord. And what happens is that the myelin sheath around the nerves becomes damaged. So the myelin is there to protect the nerves and helps the signals and messages from the brain to travel down the nerves to get where they need to get in the body. So when the myelin, when you have MS, the immune system attacks the myelin, and it's either partially or completely sort of damaged around these nerves. And that's where we get what we call lesions. So if you've been diagnosed or been through MS, you'll have heard about lesions. What this damage does is causes a delay in the messages traveling through the nerves or distorts them. And the nerves are also now not fully protected, which means the nerves can get damaged as well. And what this means is you get this broad range of symptoms, and it's why the journey with MS is very different for different people. I know you mentioned some of the sort of common symptoms, but things like fatigue and vision disturbances, numbness, tingling, muscle spasms, that balance and coordination, memory, brain fog, chronic pain. So it's a real mix of kind of these visible and invisible symptoms, and everyone gets a different mix of symptoms depending on where the damage has been caused. So where your lesions are might affect which symptoms that you get. So not everyone with MS is going to have the same journey. And there's also different types of MS. So we have relapse remittance, we have progressive, secondary progressive, and sometimes people talk about benign MS as well. So relapse remittance is the most common. It's the one we generally see where people feel better for a while, they're in remission, and then they have relapses and then hit remission again. And those periods of remission vary in length for different people. And our aim with functional medicine is to make the remission longer and longer and the relapses less. Progressive means that you're continuing to get worse. So generally that's more of a progressive illness and generally gets worse over time. Secondary progressive comes after relapse remittance. So some people start with relapse remittance and can move into a secondary progressive illness. And then the benign MS that people talk about is one, it sort of sounds like you almost don't have MS, and some people don't like the word benign. But generally it just means a kind of a mild MS. Where people do have a longer period of remission and maybe only have sort of a couple, some people find they only have a couple of relapses in the beginning and can enter into a more full remission. And that becomes classed as benign MS. So there's very varying degrees of severity with it. And it's a very complex illness and it's very difficult to diagnose because we don't have any one test for it. So it becomes a sort of a bit of a journey to get there.
Okay, I hear you. So obviously, there's all different levels of severity. And it sounds like with some people, I mean, it's the benign MS. It sounds like it's almost like they don't have it. Maybe they've got the potential for it and it's there, but it's not expressing itself. And then we've got the relapse remittance and then the progressive, which is something that's continuing to get worse, or the secondary progressive, which can come after the relapse remittance form. So it's important to know that there are all different stages, but it sounds to me like with nutritional therapy and functional medicine, one can start to dig into the root cause of the problem, whatever stage that person is at, and start to maybe reverse some of the symptoms. Is that correct?
Yes, I think where we get to the point, so conventional medicine looks at treating the disease. So once you've got diagnosed, they're looking at the actual disease you've been diagnosed with. And they're treating that. What gets missed is actually dealing with the underlying autoimmunity. So it's important to understand what autoimmunity is and how, why it's important to work on that. So there's two types of autoimmunity. There's systemic and there's organ or tissue specific. And MS is an organ or tissue specific, which means it affects one part of the body. So it's affecting the brain and central nervous system. If it was a systemic illness, it would be affected. It can move around different organs and tissues. It affects the whole body. But here we're talking about an organ-specific illness. So autoimmunity is basically a dysregulation of the immune system. And we often hear people sort of simplifying it by saying that autoimmunity is when your immune system is mistaken. And it's not wrong, but it's not quite the whole picture either. It's just one very small piece of the puzzle. So your immune system is actually doing exactly what it's designed to do. The problem actually comes from the fact that we lose self-tolerance. And self-tolerance is where there's no response from the immune system to our own tissue. So in autoimmunity, antibodies attach to our own cells instead of foreign bodies. So the immune system then rightly recognizes them as cells that have been marked as foreign and wants to remove them from the body. And there's very many different mechanisms involved in that. So for some people, it might be a sort of T cell response problem or a B cells problem or target protein. So all these different kind of mechanisms behind the autoimmunity. And that's where it's important to really personalize the care. And that's what functional medicine is very good at. So I know some people advocate sort of a certain diet for MS. So the most common one is usually the autoimmune paleo diet. For me, that's just the starting point. And I think it's the foundational things that we need to look at. But with working with me at the Good Health Clinic, what we do is truly kind of dig deeper into that. And that takes time. And as well as looking at the diagnosis of MS, we need to look at that underlying autoimmunity as well. And that's really important because the actual diagnosis is just half of the picture. If you're not looking at the underlying autoimmunity, you're not fully helping the body to deal with the MS. So it's very, very important to look at both.
I hear you. Now, we're going to be back in a moment with a few messages talking about functional medicine and how functional medicine can help people with MS and autoimmunity. And that's going to be after a few messages from our commercial partner.
The station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
B-Cure Laser.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're on UK Health Radio with Dora Walsh, interviewing Nicole Good from the Good Health Clinic, www.nicolegoodhealth.com. We're talking about how mainstream medicine just looks to treat the autoimmunity, and you like to go a lot deeper than that with a functional medicine perspective. For the people that don't understand what functional medicine is, can you tell us a bit more about that and how functional medicine can support conditions like MS?
Yeah, sure. So for me, the main benefit of functional medicine with MS is that I very much believe that as well as looking at the diagnosis that the person has, so MS, we need to deal with the underlying autoimmunity. And that's one of the things that functional medicine advocates. So this autoimmunity is bubbling along under the surface for years and years. And we know that once you have one autoimmune disease, you're very much likely to get another. In fact, the average, once you've got one, so if you get a diagnosis of MS, the average is that you will get five autoimmune diagnoses through your life. So as well as helping you with the symptoms that you've got right now, functional medicine is also looking to protect your future as well. And autoimmunity is a spectrum. So you're not healthy one day and then disease the next. You often have that underlying autoimmunity for many, many years before you reach diagnosis. And you go from being healthy to having a silent autoimmunity where you have some inflammation in the body but have no symptoms at all. And then the symptomatic autoimmunity where you've got this inflammation and these autoantibodies and you're getting symptoms. And then we get to the diagnosis of disease where you've got all of those things plus the degeneration of tissue and organs. And what functional medicine looks to do is to push you back down this spectrum. So the aim being to push back any future diagnoses that might crop up, and also to push back symptoms that you're suffering with right now. So by balancing our autoimmunity, we can see a relief from symptoms. And autoimmunity isn't curable, like we've said, but it is very much manageable. And that's what we're looking to do, is to manage it so that we get more good days than bad. So your MS isn't interfering with that daily life so much. You know, you can go out and live your life and do much more and do the things that you used to do, you know, pre-diagnosis. And the beauty of functional medicine is, as well, as that we will look at you prior to getting a diagnosis. So many people sort of have symptoms and know that something's wrong before they actually get to diagnosis. And the actual diagnosis journey can be many years. And conventional medicine focuses on jumping in once you get that diagnosis of MS. With functional medicine, we recognize this underlying autoimmunity spectrum that's going on and jump in at that earlier state than the disease state. And that means we're jumping in at a time where the degeneration to the organs or tissues hasn't actually happened yet. So we can then much more successfully push you back down that spectrum and stave off more severe symptoms and diagnoses. So that's why it's really important to raise awareness around this, because the only way that people can do that is if they understand what functional medicine is and how it can jump in. So, you know, very much if you're having these chronic symptoms or if you're heading down the journey of diagnosis of MS, you know, look to functional medicine as well, and look to getting assessed and see if autoimmunity might be something that's going on for you.
Yeah, there could be so many people walking around out there with symptoms, tiredness, fatigue. They might have eye problems, tingling.
And they think it's normal.
Yes.
You know, they sort of think, oh, well, these are just chronic symptoms and I have to live with them. You know, it's just me. And that's where functional medicine just really comes into its own, because we will jump in a lot sooner. And that's important in preventing this damage to the organs and tissues. Once you've reached that stage of actually getting the diagnosis, that damage is done and can't be undone. That is irreversible. We can still help you to manage your symptoms and push things like that back, and push back other diagnoses that are likely to crop up. But the earlier that you can jump in, the better with any type of autoimmunity. And that's where functional medicine really does come into its own.
Definitely. Now, Nicole, the tools of your trade is nutrition, nutrients, therapy, lifestyle, loads of different things. How can the diet and all of these things that you're working on, like the gut health, support the immune function?
Yeah, so we know that autoimmunity is a dysregulation of the immune system. And we know that more than 70% of the immune system resides in the gut. So it makes sense that if you have any kind of autoimmune diagnosis, you're going to want your gut to be healthy. We also know that many gut issues have been linked to all forms of autoimmunity. So things like, for example, we know people with autoimmunity often have intestinal permeability. So that's when the integrity of the gut wall breaks down and it lets molecules through into the bloodstream that shouldn't be there, which in turn causes inflammation in the body, which is a major factor in MS and also any autoimmune. So people, another gut issue that people often have is dysbiosis. We find that commonly in people with MS as well, which basically means an imbalance of the bacteria in the gut. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, I think people jump to the idea of, oh no, I've got like a sort of a pathogenic bacteria, you know, something causing a disease in the gut, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. So if you imagine the gut as a bowl, there's a limited amount of bacteria that you can fit in that bowl. And if we have a lot of what we call commensal bacteria, which is not pathogenic, it's neither good nor bad, but it means that there's less room for that beneficial bacteria that keeps our gut healthy. So those are all things that we want to balance out in people with MS. The gut can also be a source of triggers for MS. So we know that some of the triggers that we have in MS are things like parasites, pathogenic bacteria, viruses, things like that. So there are certain things as well with MS that we would look for within the gut. And it's why at Good Health, we often run a comprehensive stool test as one of our functional tests, as well as I also use autoantibody testing a lot and DNA testing to really sort of personalize those plans.
Okay, so you're looking at the stool test to see, you know, what kind of pathogenic bacteria can be out of range, or whether there are any parasites which could be triggering the person. And you mentioned autoantibody tests. And you also mentioned, what was the other test you mentioned?
DNA testing.
Wow, that's amazing. So when you say autoantibody testing, for our audience, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so it's my favorite one to do. It's really fascinating. And it's very much focused on future and kind of preventative care. What we're looking at, we generally start with kind of a general screen. There's all different sort of arrays that we can look at that can dig into certain areas deeper, but we start with the sort of general screen. And what it shows us is where autoantibodies, you may be prone to developing autoimmune disease to certain parts of the body. So if you've got MS, we're going to expect some neurological ones to be coming up, because you will have neurological sort of autoantibodies if you have MS. But you could find that when you do this general screen, that you have some that appear against, say, let's just say the thyroid. And what we know by that is, as we know that once you've got one diagnosis of autoimmunity, you're likely to get others. If those autoantibodies are showing up against the thyroid, we can say that there's a chance that the thyroid might be the next thing that is affected. Right. So we can then jump in really early and work on making sure that everything is balanced there to try to prevent that from happening. So it's sort of looking at a preventative route. We also look at it in terms of finding triggers and things as well. So when we start digging deeper into some of the other tests, they call them arrays, so the panels of different testing that they do with the autoantibodies, mm-hmm. we can dig deeper with some of those and find some of the triggers and underlying causes for people with MS and what they might be for that specific person. So it's very, very personalized care. And that's what we're looking at.
I guess you're testing differently in different people, is that correct? Or do you have just a main one that you start off with?
So we have the general screen is we generally start off with. From there, it will then be different for everybody. And we will go, you know, there would be different sort of panels done based on what shows up or what symptoms people have. So there is a sort of general starting point, but there is then more specific personalized ones that everybody would get would be different.
Okay. And you also mentioned the DNA testing.
Yeah.
Do you look at people's likelihood of develop today? People are, is it a genetic predisposition? I guess that's my question.
Yeah. So with MS, there is a genetic aspect. But it's not just genetics. So there's an element of genetics, but you have to have the right genetics to develop an autoimmune disease. But that just because you have those genetics doesn't necessarily mean you will develop autoimmunity. And there's no one gene that is linked to MS. So we have to look at this kind of mix of gene indicators. It's also only one part of the story. So it's very, very helpful in collating a person's history. So if we see autoimmunity in the family, we know that you're at greater risk of it because those genetics are there. And it doesn't necessarily have to be sort of a direct line through the family. So it doesn't necessarily need to be sort of, you know, your mother and your grandmother and sort of coming down one line. You might look at a whole family tree and there could be, you know, a cousin that had autoimmunity and, you know, a grandfather that had autoimmunity. It can jump around the family tree, but it is only one piece of the puzzle. So you have to have the right genetics. You have to have the right environmental factors. So that's where a lot of looking at the lifestyle comes in. And you also have to have the right triggers. You have to have a trigger that's going to start this sort of autoimmune process off.
I hear what you're saying. Now, you talked about gut health and the triggers, the bacteria, potential parasites. You also talked about autoantibody testing and DNA testing. I just want to go back to the importance of the diet and gut health in immune function.
Yeah.
So once you've identified what's going on, how would you support somebody in terms of their gut health?
Yeah, so there's some sort of foundational steps that I would do with everybody if they came to me with MS. And so we'd look at things like the diversity of the diet. So diversity is one of the single best things that we can do for improving gut health. And it's also really easy to get started on. So a few things that I like to sort of suggest to people is to eat two foods of each color each day. So what the colors we're looking at are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and then the sort of white and tan foods. And each of these colors of foods contain different nutrients. That's what gives them the color. So if you eat all the colors every day, you know you're getting a broad spectrum of nutrients. So that's just kind of a really generalized, simple way of getting that diversity and variety into the diet. Another one I like to do is to write down all the plant-based foods that you eat each week. So there is a little key here. You can't add the same food twice. So if you can eat broccoli twice through the week, that's fine, but you would only add it to your list once.
Oh, wow. That's a challenge, isn't it?
It is a challenge. But people love it. Actually, I get people that just come back and just say, I loved doing it. They love the challenge of it. And you can add different varieties of foods twice. So you can add, if you have like white onion and red onion, you can add those twice because they're a different variety. They've got those different nutrients in there. And the idea is to aim for 50 foods a week, which sounds a lot. In reality, the first week that people do it, they generally come back and hit around 30. That tends to be the average that people come back to me with in clinic. And the recommendation then is that the following week, try to hit two more. So just try to hit that 32. Once you've comfortably hitting 32, try to hit 34 and just build it up slowly like that. So you don't have to jump straight in at hitting the 50. Find out where you're at the moment and then slowly try and increase it. And another really easy way to increase that diversity is just when you go shopping, pick up two foods that you haven't eaten before or haven't eaten in a very long time. Just add two foods each food shop to your basket. And that will slowly just increase that diversity in the diet. And anything like that is going to benefit your gut, which is automatically going to benefit your immune system. Yeah. So I was just going to say that the other kind of, I guess, more generalized sort of foundational step that I would always take with somebody would be an anti-inflammatory diet. So I think the first thing, you know, we talk about inflammation, particularly when we're dealing with chronic illnesses, in very much in a bad way. And I think the first thing to note is that actually inflammation is a good thing. And we want inflammation in the body. It's the body's natural response to pain and to damage. It's one of the ways that it protects itself. So if you cut your finger, you're going to get inflammation at the site of that wound, and that's the body working correctly. The issue with inflammation is when it becomes chronic. So once the wound or the infection has gone, that inflammation cascade should die down. That's how the body would normally work in a healthy process. But inflammation can become chronic, and all sorts of things can have an effect on that. And that's some of the triggers that we look for. And these triggers are different in everybody. But things like toxins, chronic stress, having extra body fat, infections, anything like that. And if the inflammation becomes chronic, you're much more likely to develop a chronic illness. So like MS, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will develop an illness, but your risk of developing one is much greater. And chronic illness really is the cornerstone of any of those autoimmune diseases. So working with an anti-inflammatory diet is kind of the foundations of working with autoimmunity.
We'll be back to talk a bit more about
the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Lights is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut, protect what protects you.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're with Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio, talking to Nicola Good, founder of the Good Health Clinic. But this week we're talking about nutrition and lifestyle medicine protocols for multiple sclerosis or MS. We're talking about toxins, chronic stress, infections, and how this creates a perfect storm of inflammation, which then can be a trigger for MS. So it's very important to support the body to rid itself of these things. And you were also talking about the anti-inflammatory diet. Can we talk a bit more about the anti-inflammatory diet and what that means for people? What should they be doing?
Yeah, of course. So we've talked about the diversity of foods, and that's one of the first steps. There are also certain foods that we know help with this. So increasing herbs and spices in the diet is a really great way of introducing those anti-inflammatory foods. There's also certain foods such as turmeric, so the curcumin and turmeric, and quercetin, which is found in things like apples, dark coloured berries, broccoli, cauliflower, that sort of thing. Beta carotene as well, which is found in carrots, mangoes, orange and yellow peppers. Bromelain, which is an anti-inflammatory enzyme that's found in pineapple. So including plenty of those sort of things in the diet. And that's where that we talked about eating the different colors of foods. That's where that comes in as a useful way of just easily starting to do that. Also increasing sort of your omega-3, so your essential fatty acid foods. So getting those oily fish in there, each week. Foods like avocado, if you don't eat fish, or nuts and seeds, an extra virgin olive oil, eggs as well. We also look at balancing blood sugar levels. So that's an important part of an anti-inflammatory diet. And then there's lots of anti-inflammatory teas as well that are really useful. So, you know, we have things like ginger, lemon, honey drinks. So I have lots of recipes for anti-inflammatory teas that I give people. And then I like to focus on introducing foods. I feel that's a really important way of dealing with this diet. But we do also have to reduce certain foods that are pro-inflammatory. So that would be things like sugar and gluten and dairy, you know, those white refined sort of carbohydrates, processed meals, fried foods, things like that. So there are things that we need to cut out, but we want to work on trying to introduce as many foods as possible as well. Otherwise, it does get quite a restrictive diet. And I think beyond that, it really becomes a case of personalizing the diet.
Do you implement the autoimmune protocol diet for people?
I would say, I use parts of it. So the anti-inflammatory, an anti-inflammatory diet is part of the autoimmune sort of paleo protocol. But I am a strong advocate of actually personalizing diet more than just having a protocol that will work for MS. So I could have three people stood in front of me with the exact same MS diagnosis, the same type of MS, you know, sort of at the same stage of disease. And we'll look at all those things like the diversity, the anti-inflammatory, maybe even move a little bit more towards that sort of autoimmune paleo sort of diet. But the management of the three people with MS could end up being completely different. And the reason for that is because the underlying root causes for each of those people could be very different. So one of them might have an underlying infection as their trigger for their MS. So something, we know that Epstein-Barr virus has been linked to MS. The second person might have nutritional imbalances and poor gut health or a parasite. So we're going to be focusing more on the gut with them. You know, and the third person with MS might have mold exposure or toxin exposure. They might have a problem with losing tolerance to chemicals and things like that. So each person, even if the MS diagnosis is exactly the same, and this again is really where functional medicine comes into its own, could have very, very different triggers for their MS. So we need to go beyond just giving a sort of generalized dietary protocol and look personally at what mix of triggers is working for that person. What's causing their actual? Why did that person get MS? What were their triggers? Yeah. And you know, at the sort of good health clinic, we advocate looking at your body as a whole, but also looking at you as an individual. And the two parts of that are really, really vital. And if we're successfully going to help somebody with autoimmunity, we really need to dig deep into what those root causes and triggers are. That's how we get those you know, successful results.
Yeah, I hear you. I totally get it. I work in much the same way because I get a lot of women that, or men as well, that come to me for weight loss. But when I dig down, I'm finding weight loss anxiety, all different issues. Some of them have autoimmune. I dig down to never really just giving them a weight loss diet. I'm looking to see why are they overweight. So exactly. One of my recent ones actually has mold toxicity. I realize she's living in a water damaged house. That's not going to help her metabolism. And she has anxiety, and I'm sure it's down to the mold. People don't realize that mold can make you feel very anxious. It can affect how your brain works. So it is so important to consider things on a much deeper perspective. So as you mentioned, Epstein-Barr virus, mold exposures, latent infections, that needs to be cleared up first. And yes, you may be using autoimmune paleo, but if you're not going to the root cause, that's only going to touch the surface.
Exactly.
Okay, so now you talk about, we talked about the diet, the diversity of the diet, the having 50 different fruits and vegetables a week, that's amazing, and trying to increase two a week if you can, if you're not managing to hit the target, and only writing them down and only being able to basically not repeat the same one every day. We talked about the anti-inflammatory diet and the importance of personalizing the diet and also going to the cause of the problem through a functional medicine perspective. But what about lifestyle and its role in benefiting MS?
Yeah, so lifestyle is often a tough one. And I think for people with MS, it's a tough one because I think mentally it becomes very difficult. So when we start with lifestyle, we generally start with looking at sort of exercise. I like to call it movement because I think exercise tends to scare people sometimes when they've had MS, had that diagnosis. Because the common scenario for people with MS is that they try to carry on doing what they've done previously, and actually it just wipes them out. So they can go out and exercise and be completely fatigued for, and I don't mean, you know, just that sort of regular fatigue after exercise. I'm talking, you know, sort of 3 or 4 days being completely wiped out after just having gone for a walk. So it does become mentally quite difficult for them to get back into what I like to call movement. But ways to kind of handle that are trying to find a PT or a personal trainer or an instructor who understands the pace that you need to go at. And it's all about going low and slow. So low impact and building up very, very slowly. And things like yoga are very good for that. Or even just stretches, you know, if that's where you need to start. And you can build that up to getting back to, you know, the gym or whatever it is you want to do. And obviously it depends where you're at in your severity of your MS. But, you know, once you get back to the gym, you might want to be focusing on working on your balance. You know, there's certain exercises you can do to help with that. Working on core strength, working on weakness on one side of the body. So if you can understand what your problems are with the MS, you know, you can go to a personal trainer and tell them that, you know, I need to work on my balance. What can we do for that? And they'll give you some exercises. So really figuring out where your baseline is at. And a good way of working out where your baseline is at actually is to, if you do exercise, you should feel tired for the rest of the day, generally when you're starting out. But if you're waking up feeling tired the next day, then that's too much. So you need to pull back and you really do need to go very, very slow. And that's where I think people get embarrassed, because I know when I started, so I went back to the gym and I was in the gym for 5 minutes. And I just remember thinking, everybody's going to be looking at me thinking, why did she bother coming for 5 minutes? You know, it does feel embarrassing. But the reality was that's how much I could manage to do. And I needed to build it up slowly. So, you know, before I knew it, I was managing to do 10 minutes. But if I went straight in and did a 20 or 30 minute session, I wouldn't be able to exercise for the next 2 weeks. So I could never actually get into a cycle of building things up. So going low and slow and really sort of getting over the embarrassment, I think, of that is important. And then as well, you know, other sort of lifestyle things we look at are, we look at relationships and childhood trauma. So there's been a lot of research, sort of, it's been going on for a while, but more recently things have come out about childhood trauma being linked to the development of autoimmunity. And that could be anything from, you know, something sort of major like the loss of a loved one or, you know, divorce of parents, to just having a lot of stress. So I see a lot of people coming to me with MS who have had sort of quite stressful educations growing up, and things like that. So there is this link between childhood trauma, and we need to work on that. And that might mean seeing a therapist as well, and talking about things that happened in your childhood. So, you know, we work very much with an integrative approach with other practitioners. And looking at relationships, you know, if something or someone is a drain on you, then that needs to go. You know, we really do need to reduce stress levels with any form of autoimmunity. And you need to surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up and, you know, not knock you down, but make you feel better. And that's just one of the things we can do for sort of stress reduction. But we can add sort of self-care in as well. You know, people with autoimmunity often don't deal with stress very well. It's sort of, it very quickly becomes too much for the body to cope with. And we're all going to have stress. I remember a doctor saying to me, you know, I think you just need to have no stress. And I just remember looking at him and thinking, well, you know, that's great, but I'm in the middle of exams. And, you know, like, thanks for that. But, you know, you can't have no stress. It's just not realistic. You know, we're all going to move house at some point. You know, there could be somebody ill in the family. We can't control everything. And these things are going to happen. So what it's about is building a toolkit so that when these stressful events happen in life, we know how to manage that stress. You know, we have this toolkit of self-care, sometimes supplements as well we use to help, but really helping you through these times of stress so that it doesn't trigger your MS any further. Because what we don't want is you to have a time of stress and then end up with a flare-up of MS.
Yes, definitely. We have to learn to deal with it rather than expect that it's not going to be there, because this is life. But it is hard, actually, because I remember going to an acupuncturist once and he said, when your body's healthier, he said to me, you will be able to deal with stress. So it's a bit of like a chicken and egg. Like you have, sometimes you have to get the body healthier to, yeah, to physiologically deal with the stress better. Then when you deal with the stress better, then your body is healthier. So you've got to kind of work on both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, for the people that maybe have a very mild form of autoimmunity, or maybe they don't think they have any issue at all, why is it important to work on your autoimmunity?
Yeah, so I think it's vital that people with MS or any autoimmune condition really understand their bodies. So it's going to be a very long road ahead. You know, you've got this for life. It's a chronic illness. That doesn't mean that there's no hope. But the more you understand your own body, the more benefit you're going to get, the more improvement you're going to see. So you need to educate yourself. You need to not give up. And understanding the basics of that sort of immunology and autoimmunity and what your personal triggers are will really help you stick to any dietary changes, any lifestyle changes that you need to make. Because we know from research that people who understand why they're making these changes are much more successful in actually sticking to them. So that's one reason. I think with autoimmunity, things like MS, which are very complex and difficult to diagnose, you also need to be very proactive in your healthcare. And that's often due to limitations of conventional medicine and functional medicine. You know, you need to understand the role of each. You need to understand the limitations of each. So for example, in conventional medicine, there is no speciality of autoimmunology. It doesn't exist. You know, conventional medicine is broken down into organ, into dealing with the organ. So if you have, you know, joint pain, you're going to go and see a rheumatologist. If you've got hormones imbalance, you're going to go and see an endocrinologist. If you've got brain fog or symptoms like that, they're going to send you to a neurologist. And what you end up is this a mix of practitioners, but no one person looking at the body as a whole. And that's a limitation of conventional medicine. Functional medicine deals with that because we do look at the interconnections between the whole body. It's one of the things that we do. So understanding the differences, functional medicine, we generally don't deal with the medication side of things. So you're going to want conventional medicine for that. So understanding where these two things lie, how they can work together, because we, you know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's very much, you know, we can very much do a combined approach. And also by working on the autoimmunity, you know, you're knowing that there's these answers out there. And people often don't work on their autoimmunity because they've got very frustrated with the journey that they've been on trying to get to diagnosis. But diagnosis, you know, like we've mentioned before, it really is half of the picture. So conventional medicine is dealing with the diagnosis that you've got, the disease that you've been told that you have, so the MS. But what it doesn't deal with is that underlying autoimmunity that is bubbling away and could end up giving you more diagnoses in the future. So it's very important that you kind of get over that frustration of the journey and realize that, you know, it really upsets me when I see people giving up, because there are answers out there. It's just raising awareness of that and people knowing what's out there. And you really can live well with autoimmunity, with any of these autoimmune diseases. And that's my main goal at the Good Health Clinic, is to raise this awareness so that people know that there's these options out there, and that they know that as well as working on the actual disease diagnosis of MS, that they also need to be working on this underlying autoimmunity, because that's how they're going to get real success in managing their whole condition and their whole body and have more success with a healthy future.
Fantastic. Nicole, it's been wonderful to talk to you. We've been talking to Nicole Good, founder of the Good Health Clinic. Her name is G-O-O-D-E. And if you want to find out more about her, you can try her website, www.NicoleGoodHealth.com, and you can also follow her on Instagram at good_health. Thanks so much for joining us on the show, Nicole. It's been wonderful to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.